Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Beautiful day to be at the foot of Washington Street along RJ Way inside of KeyBank Center. Happy Canada Day, happy Free Agency Day across the NHL, and really it's free agency blended with this seemingly extended trade deadline over the last 2 weeks and the prominence of restricted free agents getting their rightful attention on this day, not to mention the long list of star players who are still seeking new locations this offseason. There is a ton to dive into. Great to have you with us today. Marty Biron, rightfully north of the border, celebrating but working, obviously, with TSN on their big free agency day today. Megan Chayka, who was a huge part of our broadcast this year, is going to join us a little bit later here as we kick things off with the news of the day. And there have been endless signings so far, including the Sabres with one of their newest pieces. Olin Zellweger was acquired last Friday on draft night from Anaheim. And Zellweger, who, you know, is still shy of 200 games in his NHL career, but obviously the organization values the tremendous upside here for Olin. And he's got a 3-year deal worth $3.1 million per. That's $9.3 million total. So call it a bridge and call it a great signing from a Sabre standpoint, because you moved off of Bo Byram, you cleared up some room to get others done, and you bring in a young defenseman with a still significant upside to an already talented group, and Zellweger comes in at a term, dollar-wise and length, that is really palatable for this team, with still a little bit of business to take care of, and who knows, maybe there's greater business on the trade front, and that remains to be seen. But Zellweger, of course, highly touted, you know, when he was brought into the Ducks organization, and we've talked a lot about how that group has evolved in Anaheim. Zellweger, 164 games. He's picked up 51 points so far, but the attributes beyond the point totals. And it's hard to say right now what you would see for Zellweger. I mean, I think 30 points is probably a nice benchmark to hopefully achieve for him next season. But it's the play away from the actual point totals, the breakouts, the skating, which is elite, and just how he can change or enhance the team dynamic that I think is going to make Zellweger a key piece to look at this year. So Olin's got a new 3-year deal. The remaining restricted free agent from a Sabre standpoint that garners the attention is Peyton Krebs, so we'll focus on that a little bit later in the show and see if something is imminent on that front. Of course, when we talk about Zellweger coming in and Bo Byram going out in the massive deal with the Hawks last week, what a deal for Byram, who is a year away from unrestricted free agency, and with his new team in Chicago, at least temporarily, has himself positioned to be the highest paid defenseman in the NHL. That, of course, won't actually come to pass because there will be others who sign their extensions today and or beyond that will surpass. This number, though, is 6 years for Bo at $12.5 million per. Good luck to Bo. It's a great contract for a really great guy with an organization that still has a ton of cap space. Patrick Kane has amassed 1,400 points in his NHL career. The Buffalo native is approaching 1,400 games played. He is hitting unrestricted free agency again today after 3 years with the Red Wings. Will he return, or should we say, will he come home and finish his career in Buffalo? Frank Saravalli throwing out that idea today, and obviously many others would have been doing likewise here in South Buffalo and the entire Western New York region. Does it make sense? Would other dominoes have to fall to create openings for Kane to be close to what he's been in each of the last 3 years, and that is just shy of a point per game with Detroit? So clearly you have to keep an eye on everything that's happening in the Atlantic Division as it pertains to, you know, direct, indirect impact on the Sabres, but also within the conference. And there are a few bigger names that are out there than Zach Werenski. And the latest development of him not intending to stay long-term with the Blue Jackets and what that has caused as far as a ripple effect across the NHL and the teams that are seeking his services with 2 years remaining on his deal. He vetoed, reportedly, a deal to go to the Dallas Stars. So what a wild week it has been from a Stars standpoint, not moving Jason Robertson to Seattle because he didn't want to accept $15 million out there from the Kraken, and now Werenski preferring, reportedly, to stay in the East with destinations such as Tampa and Toronto as the priorities. So, again, the likely impact here of Werenski's situation, potentially moving from the Metro into the Atlantic with either the Leafs or the Lightning, and what would the acquisition cost be here? And which of those two teams is better suited to make this a palatable deal for the Blue Jackets? I say palatable. They have to hit a home run, but it's never easy to do when you're in this situation. So all these plus equally as big names potentially in play from a trade standpoint, all part of July 1st here across the NHL. They've wrapped up their skate. The Sabres prospects have a development camp today. Don't forget tomorrow morning, 9:30, the conclusion of Dev Camp at Lecom Harbor Center with the 3-on-3 tournament. So many good prospects to focus in a really enjoyable setting tomorrow morning. It's a treat to get to be around the 3-on-3 again. It starts at 9:30 tomorrow. Megan Chayka is with us from Stathletes and, of course, our Sabres MSG telecast this year. Megan, happy Canada Day, first and foremost.
Thank you. There
have been so many signings already, some with restricted free agents, some unrestricted. What is the big story for you so far?
I think this is a change for the NHL. Salary cap going up, people having more money to spend, kind of a shallow free agent pool too. Signed Malenstein early, which is a really good call because he's exactly the type of teams want when they're looking at a championship run. Certainly the goaltending situation on the board is crazy. I mean, who would think that like Hellebuck could have a different team? Who would, Bobrovsky might be on a different team. You're looking at Connor Hellebuck over 3 years had 67 goals saved above expected, plus 67. Now the Winnipeg Jets didn't have a good season. Favorably, this year it wasn't great, but the Sabres actually, their tandem was excellent.
Right.
In goal save above expected at plus 18. So could you get better in goal as the Sabres? And as well. So I think that goaltending contracts that are getting out there are what is blowing my mind right now.
What is your projection and or personal expectation for Connor Hellebuck and how his career will go the next 5 years?
Well, he's an elite goaltender. So I think that when you see those that have defense in front of them as well can be outstanding. Certainly, one style goalie is a difficult find in the modern NHL. That's why you see a lot of three goaltenders that come in because they have to figure out who can play when. Even the Carolina Hurricanes playing the backup in the last Stanley Cup. It's a different approach in the NHL. But, certainly if goaltenders that year over year show up in the top 5 to 10 of goals save above expected, you can acquire them in a reasonable price. Why not?
We're going to have to ask you to pause for a minute because we're having some glitching on our end. So hang tight and we'll revisit Megan's conversation here on Free Agency Day in just a minute. And as Megan was talking, and we could start with goaltending because we can dovetail off of the Hellebuck chat there. Dan Vladar, as expected, gets his extension with the Philadelphia Flyers. It's 5 years at 5.5 per. Now, this, of course, sees a new tandem emerging in Philadelphia this year after the recent acquisition of Joe Walsh from Toronto. So that's interesting in itself. Still in the East, Ivan Demidov, basically one full season plus a couple of games into his NHL career, has an 8-year extension from the Canadiens worth $9.125 million. Expected, yes, and certainly inflated already because of the amount of cap space the teams are working with this year. One of the more interesting, you can't label it surprising anymore, because we've seen some longer deals in recent days with older players, and the Florida Panthers have been at the front end of this now for the last couple of years. Think back to Brad Marchand last year. But they have signed, the Panthers, Radko Gudas at age 36 to a 6-year deal worth $1.5 million per. The deal was announced on social by Radko's daughter. And incredibly, now, if you hate the Panthers, you may well be hating the consistent look of this Florida team for at least the next 4 to 5 years, as almost every single person on that roster of significance is under contract. Megan's back with us here as we roll along on Sabres Live on Free Agency Day. Megan, we're hopeful for a better connection here, and thank you.
I'm going to try my phone. We'll see. Amazing. I guess my office is Happy Canada Day. They're like, you're not working, Megan. So
I won't ask which communications giant that you have your service with, because that, you know, obviously you've done work with a lot of the big companies there, and you continue to do so with Stathletes. And you know, we were talking with Hellebuck here. What of the big names that are potentially in play for deals, Larkin, Werenski, Hellebuck, Robertson, Marchenko, and others, what do you think is going to be the first big domino to fall, and potentially today?
I mean, I think the biggest fish has to be Werenski, coming off a Norris winning year. I mean, he's the style of player that can do it all himself as well. He pushes a puck, excellent in transition, the most shot attempts of any defenseman. So how much he can create offensively, control the pace of play, he's got to be the one guy that everyone's calling Columbus about. But certainly the other big fish are the goaltender. So Bobrovsky is an interesting one. Hellebuck is also someone that I think could really change a franchise. Plus 67 in goals saved above expected over the last 3 years. Now, Winnipeg had a bit of a down year. Ehlers left. They had a slower, it just never seemed to piece together. But certainly Hellebuck went to the Olympics. There were tailwinds for him showing his usual color. Now, there's not a ton of goaltenders that end up year over year in the top 10 of goals saved above expected in the NHL, which is why it's so hard to figure out continuity. But Bobrovsky and Hellebuck are kind of like blue chip goaltenders. They're number ones. They're not this tandem approach. So I think if you have a chance to go for them within reason of a salary cap, you take a swing.
Well, the Bob aspect is really interesting because of the recent success in 2 Stanley Cups, but an off year last year for the entire group, fatigue, injury, whatever. But Bob's older than the guy they just brought in Florida in Markstrom. So who would benefit the most now from Bobrovsky? Because Carolina has been linked, at least interest-wise, to Hellebuck. Where would Bobrovsky, in your opinion, fit the best at this stage of his career?
That's a really tough one, because I think you have to be scratching at a Stanley Cup to look at playoff Bob. And it's not just the regular season. He comes up in those big games. So his goals saved above expected in those closeout games. I really think he tipped the scales for Florida year after year for their 2 Stanley Cups. So certainly you want to kick the can around at Bobrovsky, but there were a lot of people that his size of his contract was a deterrence earlier in his career. Now, at this stage, maybe he's willing to go to a team that he feels like has a chance or a good fit for him at a reasonable deal. But certainly with a salary cap going up, you can make a few more overpayments and I think not get burnt as much. So looking for key players, especially a goaltender or a number one goaltender, that's extremely hard to find in the NHL. I think if you're a team, you have to look at that very closely.
And how do we know which teams believe that they're close? Like, I mean, I think the Kings are one of the toughest reads in the NHL, are they not?
Yeah, and they have been for a long time. I mean, defensively, they were very proficient. They always played a 1-3-1 trap. They were very good at, you know, stopping on-man rushes, rush shots against. So them as an entity, they just ran into a buzzsaw of Connor McDavid year over year in the first round. So a very unfavorable match, which is what made it hard to be disappointed about their seasons, because it's like, right, you know, you're taking Connor McDavid to game sevens and the bounces, as we know with those close games, it's really like luck, timing, little elements and details can change those games that sometimes you don't have too much control over. So even that coming back when they were, I think they were up 3-0 in one of those series with Edmonton, and of course lost, and that was very disappointing. But certainly, you know, that is a type of series that a lot of teams, you get one bounce one way or another, they can go different ways. So LA certainly is a team that has a style, that has been defensive, but they have some young players too, like a Quinton Byfield that's coming up and creating a lot of momentum around their core. So they're out of the mix, certainly. I mean, Dallas clearly trying to make some moves. Whether it's working or not is a different story. But they've been in the rumor mill of trying to, retool, recreate some of their blue line and trade some of their major assets. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made a big splash that someone wasn't expecting, just because of like the recency of what they've tried to move and what they've offered, essentially. The Kings, at least, of what they've offered.
And the Kings, who we just spoke of, have added Eric Holla, so that gives them a little bit more depth. They've got a little bit of room to work with here if they wanted to bring in Bobrovsky. They already have Kemper, of course, so could Kemper find his way, to maybe a New Jersey, who right now have Jake Allen and Nico Daws, but maybe would want more? Will they be interested in Hellebuck? There's an awful lot at play here, but Dallas has now also become almost incredibly hard to figure out, based on the fact that the Robertson saga, if you will, it's at least a year in the making now. But to have had a deal potentially with Seattle and then have it fall through, but then today, not being able to acquire Zach Werenski because that was not a priority destination for him, and then moving Maverick Bourque in a trade to Nashville that essentially could free up enough money for Dallas to revisit Robertson and make him, by a little bit of a margin, the highest paid Dallas star. This is not to mention his brother gets dealt today from Toronto to Pittsburgh, and the Penguins have endless cap space, so they just drafted the Ruck twins. So why
they did.
Not have
quite
the
a
Robertson?
Nice story.
They could actually bring in Jason Robertson easily from a monetary standpoint.
Yes.
And I'm just throwing pie in the sky stuff here.
But... Oh, I think that would be a good home for him too. I mean, he plays like a Kyle Dubas style player, high in goals above expected. Great. Like, I was shocked he didn't make the U.S. Olympic team. Absolutely shocked. He's the one that I thought, if they had him, they needed more scoring. You know, they could have really tightened up their offensive creativity. Like, he brings a lot of skating, puck moving, and then, of course, like the shot that he has, the deception. So if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm doing everything I can on a chessboard to try to bring him in. And if I'm Dallas, I'm wondering what my team's going to look like with these shifts. And certainly I'm not turning down $15 million. I don't care where it is. Seattle's quite a nice, coffee, wonderful place to go. So I guess it wasn't the style of hockey maybe he wanted to play, and or didn't think that they were close enough to make a difference right now. I think that's the major problem with Seattle is, their core is just not at the level where adding one piece will help. They need multiple. They have a lot of needs that a Jason Robertson can't come in and just plug immediately.
Have you thought much about where is the best fit for Patrick Kane at this stage in his career? Obviously, he's always been rumored to, because the appetite in this market would be bring him home.
Yes.
Where do you think where is a good fit for Pat Kane at this stage?
It would depend on the price. I mean, Patrick Kane is still an elite player, has great, tenacity in terms of getting the puck in the net and timing. And but at his age, and the style of play that he has played in his glory years, it's you're not getting the Patrick Kane that the Chicago Blackhawks had. That's obvious to everyone. So it would have to be a favorable deal and something that would make sense in a role that would fit. Certainly a Buffalo would be a really cool end for him. But there's a lot of teams that I know are making calls for him in terms of if you need a little bit more goal scoring and that element of bite where he can come into certain scenarios and you put him in favorable situations for him to use that elite level scoring.
Megan Chaika from Statleets and our MSG broadcast this year joining us here on Free Agency Day. The Panthers, who I mentioned with the incredible Gudas 6-year deal, also did business today with another of their, I would call them depth forward, but it feels like so many of them have a significant role and impact on the team. But Eetu Luostarinen gets 8 years and $5 million per to stay. Matt Zuccarello has apparently is actually nearing a deal with the LA Kings. Emily Kaplan is reporting that. A quick thought on the Panthers and just where they're at with all their, extensions. They allowed themselves to, let A.J. Greer walk and have a big payday elsewhere. Greer obviously got his deal done in Anaheim, but they basically offset it with the acquisition of Garnet Hathaway. And how do you think everything is going to age here for the Panthers, basically, given that we're seeing a team that could well look identical for the next five seasons?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they really care age-wise. Like, I think they're just projecting 1 year, 2 years out of what they can build around the core and the style. Mm-hmm. I actually do like the Gudas signing for them. He's such a tough player to play against, right? He can really go after your like stars on the opposing team, make it really difficult to play. And Brady Tkachuk has to be the biggest story for the Panthers. I mean, getting him from Ottawa, there's a level of heartbreak, I think, in terms of that team where they were at to lose your captain. Brady Tkachuk brings a lot of different elements, like a lot of slot shots. He was second in the league this year, a ton of hits. He was top five in hits. So you're getting that grit and that big minutes, tough will fight. That's not normal as a captain. So Brady Tkachuk is, I think it stings a lot. Mm-hmm. I would say my problem with Florida is it stops looking like team cohesion. It starts looking a little all-star game-esque. So who's going to play the minutes? Who's going to have the puck? I think they'll actually have trouble with that. And then if they have any sort of breakdown in net, I think it could go the opposite way on them where there's frustration. So there's kind of a tale of two teams, I think. Certainly two brothers playing together. You know, there's cohesion there and they're able to build around that. But I don't think it'll be as easy as people think it will be in terms of being quick. They are aging a bit more, a different style too. It's not necessarily the speed and this youth element. And not getting in love with players and letting someone like Greer walk, I think is what you have to do in a salary cap era because you don't want to overpay for role players either. So right. Making tough calls, letting players go that maybe helped you along the way is important to build that core.
New GM for the Devils, major priority was to retain Nico Hischier, who was entering his final season. What do you make of Hischier at 5 years, 11.7 per?
I think that's the new world that you live in terms of comparable contracts. You have to have like these sort of a little bit of an overpay early and then allow your player to reap the rewards at the end of your contract, or you're going to pay a player that you maybe know is not going to live up long term, but you want that immediate jump. So if you're going to compete earlier, maybe there's a later element of that contract and you build the contract favorably. Like, contract construction is big now in the NHL in terms of how you pay a player and what you know your cap hit will be. So certainly playing a little bit more games and how you incentivize players to stay with you and or sign with you is very important, because these type of players are not in free agency. They're not getting traded very easily, as we're seeing, and they all have no move, no trade clauses. So you have right. to have a good home now for a player to say, it's okay, I want to go there.
And the team that has followed a script the least since their arrival in the NHL is Vegas. And now, after the latest, you know, big in-season acquisition of Rasmus Anderson, they extend him today, 7 years, $8.5 million. And they had already done Jeremy Lauzon at 6 years times $4 million. And yet, and this is really strange to say, based on them being a Stanley Cup finalist, and I have always really loved almost everything about them, why is it that I'm looking at their roster right now and thinking, this just doesn't feel as good as some of the Vegas teams that we've seen? Am I wrong here?
You're right. And I mean, I actually went to game 4 and game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and you could feel that it was a different element than Carolina. I mean, Carolina still played it with a ton of speed, rush. And like, Vegas had that speed, but they certainly had more depth. In terms of like how they had to play, just for the age of their players, the style their players played. I mean, not getting the vintage Ottawa Mark Stone. You're getting a older element. He's net front. He can, you know, make contact, great timing, but it's just mm-hmm. different. So I think that there's, you know, going to be a reinvention in Vegas, and they've showed that they're not into the draft develop. They're into acquire and figure out the fit for their team and build that cohesion around what they see as a core. And certainly they have great pieces. But there's elements where, you know, it's not, you can't win every year. And I think that they didn't expect having that regular season to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So it was a pleasant surprise, I'm sure, if you're the Vegas Golden Knights, to go on that deep of a run. But certainly you're looking around at how can we make our team better. And any great GM always thinks the best time to make your team better is when you made the Stanley Cup Finals, or when you're doing really well, because your players are a higher element when you're able to do that, right? So they might be active in terms of that retool as well, which is okay. I mean, that's yeah. how they've been so competitive. versus a Seattle, let's say.
Indeed. Megan, thank you so much for the insight today. Enjoy the rest of the big day north of the border and obviously across the league. There's Megan Chaika from StatLeets and our MSG broadcast. We're back after this. Zach Benson, one of the big signings this offseason by the Sabres, joins us.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Mason Marchment to San Jose, the latest big deal in the NHL on free agency day. And we want to see big groups of you at Sabres games next year, like 10 or more. Great ticketing experiences, save off box office pricing, exclusive experiences like photos on center ice. You can learn all about this at sabres.com/groups. And earlier this week, Zach Benson joining Marty and myself in studio.
Battle comes loose to Darlene. He has it back from Quinn. Thompson with Carrier nearby. Sabres crowding the front of that. They work it to the front. Benson scores! Zach Benson! A power play goal! And a 3-2 Buffalo lead!
Big moments this year for Zach Benson. Big offseason as well with his new contract. He's in studio with us. Welcome back. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Which goal did you like best? That one or your very first NHL goal?
I have to say that one. That one was more important at the time.
Oh,
so.
The one between the legs, though. That was sweet.
No, I got to go with that one.
Come a long way since then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was... It gives me goosebumps just watching that. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Take us through what transpired, you know, as soon as the season came to an end and you get this deal in place and how it impacts you moving forward, just as far as comfort, everything with this group.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I kind of made it clear to my agent I wanted to be here a long time and, you know, I wanted to get that done as soon as possible to give, you know, our team flexibility and give them room to, you know, make some moves. And yeah, obviously I'm super pumped to be here. Our group is, I think we got something special building here and just super fired up to get the season going.
Were you involved during the season in figuring out what was going on? Because Jarmo, when he spoke to the media, said... you know, they wanted to get you done when they got Josh Doan done, but they had to obviously, you know, kind of give themselves some wiggle room for the offseason and whatnot. But did you get in touch with your agent throughout the year? Did you know that some of the numbers that they were talking about, or did you stay completely off the phone?
No, I stayed away from it. I just wanted to play hockey, you know, playoff time. And even throughout the year, you know, you just want to play. And as a player... you know, going through a year like that, like contract years, you know, I didn't feel any pressure at all or extra pressure. I just went out there, played my game and, you know, let that take care of itself.
We'll do a lot of looking forward here in a minute, but it's hard not to look back here in the last couple of weeks and realize that you don't have as many of the same teammates as you had throughout the course of the season. How difficult has that been to process seeing guys move on?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, at the same time, you're so happy for those guys. I mean, obviously, Taki getting a huge payday, and, you know, he's earned that. And but at the same time, it's real tough. I mean, it's going to suck coming to the rink next year and, you know, not seeing Taki or, you know, not hearing Bo yelling across the gym. So, you know, that part sucks for sure. But, you know, obviously, Jarmo is going to make the moves that he thinks is going to help us in the long run.
So, I mean, just a few years ago, you were getting drafted, taking part of development camp. Development camp is going on right now. So, you know, do you walk around and almost as a poster child for like, hey, you guys are here at development camp, but in a few years, you could get a $7.5 million contract. Like, it happens quickly.
Yeah, it definitely happens quick. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm trying to stay away from them and let them enjoy their time here. And but no, yeah, it's super cool to see development camp. And I just remember my development camp and how much fun I had. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a great time.
Do you remember seeing any regular players around the rink when you were at development camp, or did you not see anybody?
I don't think I saw anyone. I could be wrong, but, you know, I can't really remember.
Didn't Dylan Cousins showed up one year at development camp?
Actually, Mitzi was there.
Yeah. Casey Middlestad. Yeah. So a couple of guys like were hanging around because I think they were young kids themselves, kind of like you. So it's kind of like part of the routine. You come to work out and hang out and see what the young kids have doing.
Another new young guy is Olin Zellweger. Yes. How many times did you face off against him in the dub?
Actually, not many. I played against him maybe only once. They came to Winnipeg. He was on Everett. And yeah, he's an excellent player, obviously. He was lights out in junior and super skilled young defenseman. So super fired up for him to be coming here.
What was it like for you? Because we're getting to know you now, and everybody says you're like a hockey encyclopedia. You know the prospects, the players, and then the week before the draft, there's moves left and right, and it's like every day you wake up, you check social media, and something's happening. So did the hockey fan and you enjoy that lead up to the draft and all the transactions?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just around the league, I think it's exciting to see trades when you wake up, and you know, there's been a couple big ones. So obviously, you know, for our sake and losing Bo and Tucky, yeah, that's tough. But seeing other teams make big moves, it's cool to see, and it definitely brings out the fan in you.
How excited are you in a way, but because of the way you play, to play the Florida Panthers next year? Now that they added Tkachuk, and you get on the ice and you're like, I'm taking Matthew first and then I'm going after you, Brady. Like, I'm saying, like, that's what's going to be fun for you.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, obviously it's going to be a tough building to play in, but it's going to be fun. I mean, they're going to be real good, but it's going to be a good test for us.
Yeah.
Beck Malenstein signed this week as well. 6-year extension. A thought on what you're lighting up here as I say his name.
Yeah, unbelievable. I'm so happy for him, and happy for our team, too. I mean, we get a heck of a player and a super important piece of our team. So to have him locked up long-term, it's super special, and I couldn't be happier for him.
I mean, you mentioned, like, Bo yelling in the locker room and Alex Tuck, a couple of veterans that are moving on. But we don't seem to know Beck Malenstein off the ice a lot. It seems like he's very reserved. What is he like in the locker room, in the weight room, on the road? Like, what's Beck Malenstein like?
Yeah, no, he's a super awesome guy. Just a nice dude, and he's super vocal too. Actually, you know, maybe you guys don't see that part of him, but you know, in the room during intermissions, he's one of the vocal guys. So, super important piece of our team on and off the ice.
How has your new contract changed your life?
It really hasn't, honestly.
No big purchase for you or the family yet?
Not really. I'm looking at getting a house in Buffalo, but yeah, no, it hasn't changed much other than I'm super pumped to be here for 7 years.
My first big deal, I went straight to the dealership, bought a car, paid sticker price, didn't even negotiate. They saw me coming a mile away. You know, I remember when you made the jersey number switch with Josh Norris, there was a little incentive that went your way for switching from 9 to 6. What's the next step for you? Like, you know, living the NHL lifestyle and whatnot. I'm not saying you got to go crazy. Robbery would tell you, save your money and keep it for the after career. But what's something that you're interested in when it comes to little splash of something crazy?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm trying to negotiate.
More French leather bags or anything like that?
I don't think so. I'm trying to negotiate with my parents, trying to get the mini donut stand out on the fair. But
okay, good.
Other than that, nothing crazy.
You're not into cars or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a car nerd by no means, but, you know, I'm definitely going to look into it and maybe see if I can get a new one or see if I like one. But I'm not like a car nerd by no means.
Okay.
Pickup truck, right?
No, not a truck guy.
Not a truck guy?
No.
Okay. SUV?
SUV, yeah. Okay. Trucks are too hard to drive.
Well, do you drive stick?
No.
Nobody drives stick anymore. And, like, that was the best. Like, when I bought I ended up buying a Porsche, but I was like, it needed to be stick. I wanted to feel the gears go in, and people thought I was crazy, and now that doesn't even exist anymore.
No, my transmission would be gone. That's one of those things.
Oh, Benny's leaving the rink.
I love it.
Exactly.
Because you're not, you know, focused on all this other stuff, you know, that can come with a big contract, you were probably really focused on the remainder of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you definitely.
What was that like to watch?
It's mixed. I mean, it's so tough to, you know, that Montreal-Carolina series, you want to be playing in that so bad. And, you know, you kind of watch the game and both how we would have done or fared out there. And, At the same time, you're still pissed off. So, but at the same, you learn a lot too watching those games and how much each series the stakes rise and just as much harder the guys are going.
Did you think Carolina would win?
Yeah, I mean it's hard to say that. I mean Montreal was such a good team and hard team to play against. So I'm not gonna say I thought Carolina was gonna win, but. Yeah, I mean, I was probably leaning towards them.
But what about the final itself against Vegas? Were you leaning Carolina?
I was leaning Carolina in that series. Not saying that, Vegas, I didn't think they would have a chance, but I was definitely leaning Carolina in that series.
Now, I mean, playoffs are such another level. What was it different for you emotional-wise? Like, you know, we saw you getting into it with Dobesh a few times and other players on the Canadiens, and then against Boston, the same thing. Was it difficult to walk that line to not get, you know, carried away, or did you absolutely enjoy being in that fire?
Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved it. I mean, there was a couple times where I had to talk to myself, like, hey, you got to calm down here. Maybe a couple too many cups of coffee before the game, but no, it was so much fun. It was, it's something that you definitely, you're hungry to get back to, and you want to be playing in those games again.
Did you talk to Mike Madison after, when he was protecting your head at all costs? Like, or you're like, you know what, thank you, but I'll run you over the first chance I get.
Yeah, no, I never got the opportunity to say anything, but... You know, you're in the heat of the moment. If he was in the corner, I probably would have took a run at him. But, after the series, you kind of thank him for those things.
Do you skate with him in the summer? Because he comes back to Buffalo for a little bit. Have you, did you know him before that?
I skated with him like probably a week in August. I come here usually late August. I start skating here. So he was out there and didn't really talk to him much, but.
No, you guys will have something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like next year, I'm running you over. I don't care.
I mean, this is still a crazy time with more transactions to come, ultimately, across the league. But how do you sit and view your division just and what it could look like? I mean, it was already the best division in the NHL last year, and that was with a Toronto team that did not perform well over the last 6 weeks and really bottomed out. From our position, it just looks like... almost everyone has taken or is attempting still to take major strides here.
Yeah, no, it's, it's not going to be easy. I mean, this league, every game's tough. So, we're going to be hungry too, and we're getting that much better too. So every team in our division is going to improve, and, we're one of those teams that's improving as well. So, we got to be hungry and come out of the gates flying too.
Do you pay attention to the draft much? Did you pay attention much to it?
I watched the whole first round. It's something cool to watch when you got nothing better to do.
Anybody match the style that you had when you arrived in Nashville for your draft with the buckle? Like, there was some good looking suits and a couple of interesting personal touch. I saw this one prospect, I think it was in the second round, the third round, he had a vest that had NHL draft in the back. Do you remember your outfit from the draft in Nashville?
Yeah, I do. I went with super light blue. I mean,
yep.
If I was to do it again, I probably wouldn't do that, but
it looked good.
Yeah, no, it was a cool suit. Definitely, I guess, stood out.
Well, I that's one thing I love, seeing these kids, 17, 18 years old, having the swagger, the suit, the style. What's your summer like? You're here now in Buffalo. You're probably going to come back in August, as you pointed. Usually that's when you come back to skate before training camp. But what's your summer going to be like back on the farm or back on the fair circuits and all of that with the family?
No, not going out this year. just in Vancouver training. Been skating there the last couple of weeks. Came here for a couple of days and then heading back there and hopping right back on the ice.
Anybody you skating with that... either NHL players or Sabres guys?
Yeah, there's Bedard's out there. Celebrini comes out.
Duffer's favorite, Macklin. Well, a lot of people's favorite. Yeah, exactly. He's fantastic.
Yeah, Kent Johnson. There's definitely guys that I'm missing, but we have a really good group and young guys, super competitive. So, I mean, sometimes I'd say we cross the line, but
In the summertime?
Yeah, you'd be shocked. It looks like Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He's got a, like, Pat Coletto. Pat Coletto would fight everybody. Like, him and Nathan Gerby would go at it. They were teammates in the summer hockey. Like, it happens a lot.
But you're doing this with, you know, two of the more talked about stars in Celebrini and Bedard. And
I mean, it'd probably shock people, but I am probably the one guy that doesn't swing my stick around out there. So,
no way.
You know, I'm definitely going as hard as I can, but not swinging my stick like some of the guys
do. So now, what time of day do you guys usually skate then?
It's noon every day.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect time. It gives you a workout before and then head to the rink and you're done by 1:30.
And then tea time at 2:30? Are you a golf guy?
Or? No tea time. I'm usually napping from 2 to 4. So.
And you get ready for dinner.
Exactly.
You know, hanging out with buddies.
Right, because it takes a lot to get ready for dinner. Yes. Anything else on the calendar this summer? You know, events, concerts, travels, anything that you're really looking forward to?
No, I went to a World Cup game, actually, in L.A.
Nice.
So that was super cool.
Who was playing?
It was Belgium versus Iran.
Okay.
So that was, I've never been to a soccer game before, and that was intense and crazy.
And who did you go there with?
I went with four of my buddies and my younger brother.
Amazing.
Yeah. Was the Belgium fans louder, or was the Iran fan louder?
It's a huge Iranian population.
Yeah. Iran, it was almost the whole stadium was Iran fans.
Really?
Yeah, it was super loud, and I'm shocked. Like, the game is super, I mean, it finished 0-0. Mm-hmm. It was super boring, and these fans are going nuts the whole time. I'm like, they're literally passing in their D zone, like 400 feet from the opposing net.
Mark this down now. What year went? So 2030 World Cup analyst.
Well, you know what? 400 feet from your net, you're not going to score many goals. So that's right. What about Team Canada? Are you following Team Canada? They had a big win over the weekend in the round of 32, scoring late in the game. So you're following Team Canada in the World Cup?
Yeah, I'm fired up. You know, obviously, I haven't really watched soccer before this, so it's teaching me a lot about the game, and I'm kind of turning into a soccer fan, not going
to
lie.
Yeah, well, going to Europe, go catch a game at Barcelona or something. I'm sure some of the guys up there, like Dolls and whatnot, would be happy to show you around.
Yeah, I've heard it's crazy out there.
Mix in a few more trips and concerts this summer, so that way we have even more to talk about when you come back in the fall.
Guy. Yeah, he's a music guy.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge music guy.
Not yet?
No.
Someday.
It's acquired taste, Benny. Acquired
taste.
Well,
I'm a music guy. It's just I don't want to go sit at a concert
and
blow my eardrums out. Rather just listen on my
phone. He's smart. Like, in all facets, I may be struggling with the hearing a little bit.
Hearing issues over here.
Yeah. But we love to hear that you were in town, and thank you for stopping by. And again, congratulations on a terrific season last year and the next 7 ahead here in Buffalo.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks to Zach being in studio. Olin Zellwiger, 3x3.1 with the Sabres today on a busy free agency day across the league. We'll wrap it up for you next on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Good to see one of the good guys in the game land in Columbus on this day. That's Don Granato, the former head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, will be an assistant to Rick Bowness and the Columbus Blue Jackets. What will the Jackets look like by the time the season begins? It's free agency day. There's endless transactions, whether it was UFAs or RFAs getting extensions. And imagine going into an offseason when Anze Kopitar retires and the Kings are going to get older, because they have added Corey Perry at age 41 and are expected to add Matt Zuccarello as well. That's just a sampling of what this day has been like. Hopefully you get a chance to settle in and go through all the details across the league as it unfolds for at least the next 24 hours. Happy birthday, Justin Bailey. Have a happy long weekend. Once you get to it, folks, Sabres Live will return on Monday.